from 1,000 years earlier, we find agreement 99.5% of the time, and the 5% differences are minor spelling variances and sentence structure that doesn't change the meaning of the sentence. I'm not even going to go into Plato. We got to move on. I think believing that this is true is just the first start, though, guys. Sitting here and going, I believe this is right, is just the beginning of our journey. How we interpret this Bible makes all the world of difference, too. Do we look at it literally? Do we look at it as hyperbole? Do we look at it as a metaphor? Do we look at it from a liberal view, conservative view? John wrote down, and he said, Jesus performed many other signs and miracles in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in the book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah. There's a point to the book. And the book is saying there's a Messiah out there. And he came. He came to earth. He dwelled among us. We saw him. It's the guy that we've been waiting for thousands of years for. He's here. And that's what John's saying. He's here. That you, by believing, may have life in his name. Today we're going to look at the bread of life. And we're going to look at it from a compassionate ministry viewpoint. Those of you who know me, I work at a compassionate ministry center called Building Hope up in the Northeast Edmonton. We serve meals Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 9 to 3, 100 people a day, just to keep it simple. And we're also going to try to implement these teachings into our own life. All right? Again, I tell you the truth. R.C. Sproul, who's a famous preacher, he says it's like Jesus saying amen and amen. It's like he's got the words of the Father and he's going amen and amen. All right, the word of God. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, you're looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Then they asked him, what must we do to do the works God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. So they asked him, what sign will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. At this the Jews began to grumble about him, because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I came down from heaven? Stop grumbling among yourselves, Jesus answered. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died. But whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. That's a heavy passage, and I can only imagine if you're a first-time person here today, never heard the gospel, never understood the Eucharist or the Lord's Supper, and you're going, whoa, what do these Christians believe? This blood and flesh. But as we dig in, I think we who have been in the circles of Christianity kind of go and say, I can receive that teaching. But I'm going to try to give you some perspective on where we might be still missing some points in the teaching. He says, not because you saw the miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. That's why you're here. He had just walked across the lake. Some of them got into boats and were following him along. And some had walked across, you know, walked over the top of the, you know, over the top of the lake, I guess, and came around. And he's in the synagogue in Capernaum, right? And they're going, when did you get here? And he says, very truly I tell you, you're not here because of the miracles, but you're here because you ate the food, which was a miraculous thing because he had fed 5,000. So what's he saying here? I think he's saying, you're only here because of what you can get. You're only here because it's all about you. More miracles for others? No. I just want my more bread. I want to be fed right now. I want to eat, right? We have to remember what it was like back in the day. The Jews are being oppressed by the Romans, right? They're the overlords. Jesus knows we have physical needs. So as we Let's look at this from a physical, a mental, and a spiritual level. Jesus knows we have physical needs. Bread and drink are some of the most basic. You can eat off bread and water. Clothing, right? Mental wants. We need more. We often are like, I need more. We covet. We look at it and go, oh, I want what that guy has. I want the new Apple iPhone because it's new, right? But what's wrong with the old one? It's going to cost you $1,400 to get the new one. You may have the money, but what could that $1,400 do for others? Spiritual. At that time, it was about works. Jesus had not died on the cross yet. This is one of the, I imagine this is the first time he's even begun to talk about flesh and blood in a way that we understand when we take the Lord's Supper, the Eucharist. He probably has never introduced this to his disciples yet or had a supper like that with them yet, right? You know, he does it much later on in the upper room just before he's going to die. He has the Lord's Supper with them. But this is kind of alluding to it and what it's to do. And we do it often to remember the death and resurrection, the covenant. We have the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. And we have the temple worship. And you got to remember what the temple worship was about. You do something wrong, you take your bull to the temple, you sacrifice it. You come home, and the next thing you know, you're in a fight with your sister, and you grab another bull, and you head back. Right? Like, it's just endless. You're just constantly going to the temple and saying, I'm sorry, God. You know, at Building Hope, we try to deal with the physical and mental and spiritual aspects as well. We do the food, clothing, shelter. On the mental side, we try to endorse community and just get people to talk around, right? We have a place of safety. I had to walk someone to their bike this week because they're going, I think these guys want to beat me up. Okay, let's walk to your bike. I'm pretty sure they're not going to take me down because They could. I'm, you know, old and crippled, but whatever. Like, you know, like, what are they going to bite the hand that tries to feed them? Like, I don't know. They're not, it's just not going to happen. But they feel safe there, most people. But we also say, you know what, guys, we believe in love. So why don't we try loving in this room, right? We had laughter. I've been to a lot of centers, and I never hear laughter. Like, I've been to the White Avenue ones and the downtown ones. This week, I was upstairs, and they were giggling downstairs, and I'm like, that's what I want to hear, because that is a healing thing. There's joy there. But we really hammer the spiritual aspects, too. I try to get them to think past, present, and future. Your past is forgiven. If you have accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, well, your future is as a child of God. And he says, I'll feed my kids, and I'll give you something to drink, and I'll clothe you. So that gets you back to the present, which is a place where we can start dealing with some of the pains and the hurts and the addictions and the mental illness. And there's lots of reasons for that underneath. People are rarely just mentally ill. A lot of times they've got a pain that happened in their childhood that is so horrific, they've just pushed it down. The addictions, you know, we'll talk about it a little bit later in the closing, but there's a reason why a lot of indigenous people are addicted to alcohol. There's a lot of pain there. And as a white man saying to other white men, we sure jam the bottle of liquor in their hands pretty quick too, to dull in the pain. And I'm not saying that to condemn us. I'm saying that to say that's what happened. That's what happened, guys. We took their kids. And to dull the pain, somebody had to put a bottle in their hand and say, that's what's got to happen right now. Right or wrong. I'm not here to judge us, but I'm saying that's what happened. And that's what we're dealing with at Building Hope. We do lunchtime devotions this week. I'll tell you my stories from this week. It was packed to capacity, and you could hear a pin drop. And Fran's not here today, I don't think. Oh, Fran's here. There she is. Right. Fran knows how hard it is to get that congregation to quiet down, especially when the girls in the back room are chatting it up. You could hear a pin drop at the lunchtime devotion. Jesus in love. I got nothing else. I got nothing else. You're just getting Jesus in love, and that's all I'm giving for the devotion. Counseling. I got no other solution but Jesus, so it's going to begin and end with Jesus. It says in verse 29, the work of God is to believe in the one he has sent. We must all come to see that it is not our works, but it is our belief that God has done it all in Jesus. And how about us? Are our physical needs or our mental needs outweighing our spiritual needs? Do we worry about things that maybe are more on the physical and the mental side, like how are we going to save for the future or how are we going to provide for our kids? More than maybe we start to think about, how am I growing spiritually? Are we going and saying stuff like, man, I wasted my life? Last I checked, Jesus took all that stuff on the cross. Your past is gone. Accept that you're a child of God and go live freely. Live your purpose. I can't forgive them. Boy, that's a tough one. Guys, keep looking at Jesus if you really believe that. Keep dealing within yourself because you'll find that he gave you grace to live in freedom. You can forgive. And if you need to work through that with someone, Johnny and Jen are amazing people. I do marriage counseling a little bit too, right? You know, you do everything at Building Hope. And it's a whole bottle of stuff. But I look at it and I go, this is ministry. It's the family unit. To me, the family unit is the first community that we know. And, you know, I go to my seminary buddies. I'm like, you got good books on this stuff? And here's what we do to kind of check and see where your values are. And it applies to you guys because my buddies are, you know, they're in churches like this. They go and get your bank records. You get a pretty good look at where your values are pretty quick. Not to condemn you, but just to go, do they align with one another? Like if one person's going, I tithe, the other one's like, whoa, what do you mean 10%? Like that's out of this world. You might have to talk about that before you get married, right? But it's a good thing to do 10 years into marriage, 20 years into marriage, and going, what are we spending our money on? And from there, which I think is even more important, where are we putting our time? Hey, I've been as guilty as anyone binge-watching Netflix for 8 to 12 hours. I can't remember the last time I put 8 to 12 hours into the scriptures or into Joe Osteen or whoever is out there we're supposed to be watching. I don't know. I tell you the truth. It's not Moses, but it's my Father. He goes and says it the second time, and he's like, wait a minute, you guys think this is about Moses and the law and Moses feeding you in the desert? And he's going, no, guys, you got the wrong, you're looking at a human, you're idolizing a human. He's like, let's get back focused on the Father. And I think sometimes we forget that God loves us. He loves every one of you. He loves you. He loves you so much. Sometimes when we go through hard times, we wonder, where's God? We wonder if God's forgotten us or he's just too aloof. We wonder if we screwed up so much that now our future is in jeopardy. Oh, because I did all this, I'm going to have a bad future. I don't know. That just doesn't seem to me like grace or the cross. That sounds like works to me. I agree there's some consequences, but sometimes there's not. We wonder if God is against us sometimes and we're condemned to a life or an eternity of misery. I tell you, God loves us. He knew humanity was in trouble with sin, and it had its hold on us. It had a grip. The devil had the word of God, and it says in here, if you do this wrong, you have a consequence. And the devil had it. He used the law against us. And there was no way out. We are all sin. It says, for all sin and fall short of the glory of God. And the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You want to know how much God loves you? Just think about Gethsemane and how hard Gethsemane was on the Father. I mean, God had already wiped out humanity in the flood, right? So we know he's capable to wipe out humanity. So here's his son who has done nothing wrong in Gethsemane and saying, please take this cup from me, Father. Please take this cup from me, Father. Please take this cup from me, Father. Blood, sweat coming from his brow. We know it was hard on Jesus, but what about the Father who's sitting there who has all the power in the universe available to him, who is all loving and says, he did nothing wrong, but he must die so that I can have those who did do something wrong. He loves you that much. Don't let the devil tell you otherwise. He loves you. The law condemns, but Jesus, we know, loves us. He loves Building Hope. He loves Southside. He loves all humanity. For God did not send his son to the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. But there's another thing we got to remember, guys. God disciplines those he loves. Like, I've never been a parent. No idea. But I think you discipline out of love, right? You go and say, if we can correct the mistake now, maybe when little Johnny gets a little older, he won't have a bigger pain, right? Keep him away from the fireplace. Maybe he won't get burned for long, right? Keep him in the house get him in the house at midnight. Maybe we won't have to deal with a pregnant girlfriend. Who knows? Like, I don't know what little Johnny goes through, but, you know, just thinking of my childhood, it's not good. But the thing I want to ask is, what does discipline look like in your life? If it's a concept that you're going, no, discipline, what are we talking about here? Like, if God is disciplining those he loves and we want to be loved, then what does discipline look like in your life? I got it this week. Like, God gave it to me hard, you know, and it was a lesson, and I'm at the end, I was like, I'm sorry. But he's like, that's okay. You listened. But what happens if little Johnny won't stop going to the fireplace? We have to up the punishment a little bit, the discipline, because that fireplace is going to burn him. Well, God knows that there's some things that we're in that he's going, you got to get out of this. And he's disciplining you. He's trying to speak to you. And I'll tell you, one of the great ways he does it is just by reading this. He'll discipline you if you'll listen. It's much better to get disciplined with words than to get a SWAT or to get a photo radar ticket. Because that's how God disciplines me quite often, I find. But the question to ask is, when's the last time God disciplined you, and what was the lesson? If you don't know the lesson, then that's just not good either. Right? Like, what heaven, earthly father goes and says, sees little Johnny go in the fireplace, gives him a SWAT, and doesn't tell him what it's for? You'll figure it out. That's not a good dad. Dad first has said, Johnny, you're going to get burned. It's not good. If Johnny won't listen, then Johnny's got to get a SWAT or something. I don't know, are we still hitting our kids? I don't know. We're not going there today. I tell you the truth, he who believes. What is belief? What does that even look like? What does it mean to believe? If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever, and I will give. That sounds pretty good. God's giving it. Just got to eat the bread, and I'm going to live forever. But we know from Scripture, there's people that are out there going, Lord, Lord, did we not do miracles in your name? And he's like, away from me, I never knew you, for all eternity. I think we better get this word belief down a little bit. A little bit later, we see it say, this is actually previous to the one we just read. But as I told you, you have seen me and still you do not believe. These people are actually seeing him do the miracles and he's going, you don't believe. My Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. So what is belief? Let's look at the crowd which represents us. They're following Jesus. They're going around the lake. They're eager to be with him. They're listening to Jesus. They're engaging him with good questions. It's not like it's going over their heads or they're like, this guy's a fool. No, they're engaged. They're listening. They're seeing the miracles. They're eager to learn, but are they patient to gain wisdom or understanding? They're eager to work, but are they willing to trust and obey? So what is belief? Okay, we're going to get into a little circular reasoning. You can come at this from a lot of different areas, but I always get back to this way. What is belief? Obeying and trusting, let's say. Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. So if you love God, you're going to obey what he has to say. Okay? Obey. I'm going to obey. Okay, so what's Jesus teaching? Well, he says the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. That's the greatest commandment he's got. Okay, so I'm going to take that teaching. I'm crunching stuff up here. Now I'm getting rambunctious. Verily, truly. And the second is love your neighbor as yourself. These are the top two. Okay, you only got two today. Take these babies home. From there, what is love? Love is patient and a whole bunch of other things. We'll get to trust later, but it perseveres. Here's my thing with patience and perseverance. When's the last time you were on the beach in Mexico and your partner said to you, just be patient, it'll be over soon. Just be patient, it'll be over soon. You know, I could use the Euler reference, but sometimes it is painful being there, right? Like, you know, But when the times are good, that's not when your partner's looking at you and going, it's time to be patient. Well, that's when time flies. It's when the times are tough. Who has to persevere when they're sitting on the beach in Mexico? Just persevere. You will get through this, honey. Just two more weeks of sun. Those guys in Edmonton, I'm sure you guys down there looking at it like, minus 10. You know, I don't know. You don't have to be patient or persevere when the times are rocking and rolling and they're good. It's when they stink. It's when they're tough. It's when you're getting disciplined. Right? Jesus does say that. It's not always easy to go through discipline. All right? So it's tough. Okay, so I call it enduring love. Let's just call it enduring love. Well, who are we supposed to love? Well, it says God, love God and love your neighbor. Well, who is my neighbor? Well, we know that the parable of Good Samaritan, the guy asked that, and basically that's the guy who had some love. He was doing something about his love, so I'm looking at it as active love, which corresponds with James, who is Jesus' brother, and he says faith without works is dead, so I'm thinking active love is good. And then who, again, Jesus says love your enemies, so I'm looking at it and going, when are we as Christians not supposed to be loving? I don't know about you guys, man, but that's a tough one for me because I take home a lot of pain and I take home a lot of arguments in my brain. And as a single guy, I lie in my pillow and I rock and roll for an hour or two sometimes because I'm so mad at somebody. But I also know Jesus says love them. What? But they're wrong and I'm right. So you have the word of God. You have me living in your heart. You have the words of life. Who should be right and who should be wrong? I don't know. Love everyone but God first. Okay, so it says love God, and one of the things is always trust. Okay, I'm going to trust God. This is a hard one, guys. And I'll tell you, this next slide is a fun one. So where do I love? Like, it says love everyone. Do I focus on someone? Like, do I, because it says be active. Does that mean I have to be active in everyone's life? No, 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 no. God will lay people on your heart. God will show you who you are assigned to. God will bring people. Don't worry, they'll come. And you'll need to have boundaries. If you come to Building Hope, it's not just open wallet time and, oh, there we go, now I love you. No, I want your time. Well, we want your money, but we want your time. Guys, I'm telling you, I think we got to go after the poor. It is a sin to despise one's neighbor, but blessed is the one who is kind to the needy. Blessed. Whoever oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker, but whoever is kind to the needy honors God. I use this one on the guy who had the Porsche, and he's bringing a bag of clothes, and I'm like, you know, I'm still going to celebrate what you've just done. Whoever is kind to the poor, I said, you actually took time out of your schedule to bring me some clothes and bring it down for these guys. So you were kind to the poor. Lends to the Lord. You just lent to the Lord. And do you receive that? And he got all quiet. I'm like, just receive it. I said, now receive this one. And he will reward you for what you have done. You need to receive that over time. I don't know when he's going to do it, but it's a promise. And if you look at your scriptures the way I look at my scriptures, it's a promise. And I can take the bad promises, but I can also look at the good ones and say, I'm trying, and I'm going to try to receive. And that's when I start to see them coming my way, and I'm going, I'm not in trouble. I'm just finding my Savior. I'm just finding my Lord. I'm just getting a rock and roll in time. I got nothing to worry about. I had a guy, he's like, you're tormented. I'm like, you have no idea how much at peace I am and how much joy I got. I am rocking and rolling right now. Because I know my Jesus will never let me go. I know I'm investing in the poor. The generous will themselves be blessed, for they share their food with the poor. Those who give to the poor will lack nothing. I'm telling you guys, if you give to the poor, what are we worried about? But those who close their eyes to them receive many curses. There's always the other shoe dropping. And the future, he says, you'll never go hungry, you'll never get thirsty. And I see that as a promise. And sometimes that comes from your guys' tables. It's not like God just, he gives me the food. Sometimes it's the Christian community saying, come over and have a meal with us. And it's like, sweet. I'm a terrible cook. But whatever. You guys are doing your job. I'm still alive. Sometimes I wonder if our churches, and I'm not just saying you guys, because I'm part of you guys, but I sometimes wonder if we're fulfilling the prophecies. You'll be ever hearing, but never understanding. You'll be ever seeing, but never perceiving. What are we doing with our money? What are we doing with our time? Who's the compassionate? Who's the needy? How do I trust? How do I obey? What am I focused on? My physical needs, mental needs, spiritual needs? Is it about works? Is it about grace? Those are long conversations, guys. But I can tell you, I know it's about Jesus. I can tell you, I know it's about love, and I think it's about the poor. Final point. I tell you the truth. I highlight, and I don't know if you can see that on your little thing. Yeah, you can see it. There's four there. This is crazy talk to the guy on the outside. Drink the flesh, eat my flesh. Unless you drink the flesh, you must have something wrong there. For my flesh is real food. Whoever eats my flesh, like, that's tough talk. You're going to talk to the guy at, you know, I go to Sport Check. I work at Sport Check. You know, it's like, I got guys throwing this at me, like, you guys are, you know, and I'm like, okay, we got to get into a long conversation. It's tough. But it says, the one who feeds on me will live because of me. And we need to get there. It's hard teaching for outsiders, those that are not in, right? Not religious. You know, there's people that never even probably heard Jesus speak, and they were right in Capernaum. They were like, no, I got too much to do, man. I got to take care of the shop. Then you got the disciples, not the 12, but the disciples, right? And they're hearing it for the first time, and they're hearing this eat flesh and drink blood. And John 6:66 says, from that time, many of the disciples turned back and no longer followed him. And we don't see Jesus going, wait, I'll change the message. No, he's pretty confident in the message. And Jesus asked the 12, you do not want to leave too, do you? So he's looking at the hand-picked 12. And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? It's like saying, there's no one doing these miracles, and I don't get what you're talking about, flesh and blood, but I'm in it. I'm following you. And yeah, he'll deny him, but he'll still follow him, and Jesus will restore him. You may fall down, but let him restore you. Let him be your Savior in that time. You have the words of eternal life we have come to believe and know. You are the Holy One of God. Then Jesus replied, have I not chosen you, the 12, yet one of you is a devil? I don't need to say anything more about that. It's hard teaching. Today, what do we do with tough passages? Do we ignore them? Do we contextualize them? Do we try to obey them? Do we believe? Do we doubt? Do we go, that was 2,000 years ago. We don't have to cover our heads in the sanctuary anymore. Okay, I can get that. But does that mean we don't have to obey the Sabbath anymore? You know, some people look at the law and they get so wound up in it, next thing you know, they're condemned. I've been there. I've seen that side of it. Well, you think God's against you now. That's when you need Jesus. Or the other side of it, where you go in and saying, well, it doesn't really apply to us anymore. That's old time, right? Law's done. Sabbath, no problem. We got that one. He's got us. Are we the only religion? Are we unique? Or is everybody the same? Golden rule. The wrath of God versus the love of God. They're hard teachings. There's two ways to say it. I don't know if they're any different or the same to you, but in my mind, they're very different when I say it. We got it. He's got me. We got it. He's got me. 1996. I don't know if any of you guys know what that number represents. In closing, is the last year that the residential schools were open. Devin and I went and saw an exhibit, and this picture was up there. I couldn't get my eyes off of it. I deal with a lot of Indigenous people who are really, really hurting. We took their kids. I talked to my aunt. She's like, I would scratch somebody's eyes out if they took my kids. I guess that's why the guy's got the gun. I don't know. Imagine that wasn't an easy scene for the kids or the moms, their dads. And sometimes I wonder what Christmas would have been like when all the kids came home and yours didn't, because 40% of them died. We do got to reconcile, and I'm not saying it's about money, people, because throwing money at it is not necessarily the answer. The answer is to show up and say, I'm sorry. I don't know what I can do for you, but I can walk with you and try to maybe find you a place to stay, or maybe talk to you about your addiction. Maybe talk to you about why you can't forgive me. Maybe talk to you about what I would feel if I lost a kid like that. We don't necessarily have it always right. I think there'll be some times in the future they'll look at us and go, what are you guys thinking? But we got Jesus too, just like our forefathers did. Jesus is the answer, and that's where we've got to give it. Isa, can I talk about you for a second? Just a second. I should have asked you prior, and maybe I won't, but you know, what's going on in Syria is part of us too, guys. And we got to care. It's important. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. Wow. Oh man, do we need Jesus. And that's okay, because you saw that and you gave him. And you give and you give and you give and you give Jesus. And then you give us Jesus as Lord as well, that says love, love, love. Just go love. And I know you've messed that up. And that's okay. That's why Jesus Savior is here. And we thank you for Jesus and the command to love. Lord, where we have wronged, we pray for forgiveness, and we pray for a heart of reconciliation with others. Where we have ignored those who have been hurt or who are in need or poor, I pray you forgive us and open our eyes to their need and open our hearts to them. When we're in trouble that we can't pay rent, help us to trust the church so that we can be a community. Sometimes we just don't know where the need is. So help us to drop the pride that says you should have had it in line. You should have never lost your job. That economy, you should have saw earlier to get out of oil and gas. Help us to drop the pride and just enter into our communities with just complete childlike eyes and say, I don't know the answers. I don't know how to love. I don't know how to take care of my family. But help us to trust our family to you, Lord, that you do not do not break the promise that you will feed us and you will help us to drink and you will clothe us. You're not that God. You are faithful. And we thank you. We praise you. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for Johnny and Jen, Lord. Just bless them and give them a great time together. And Lord, just continue to be with us the remainder of our service. Thank you for your presence here this morning. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.